Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. It's a lovely new year. We have beautiful weather. We're enjoying something that the rest of the country doesn't seem to be enjoying. Even though it be cold here, it is absolutely magnificent in the mornings. The sky is clear and so on. Happy New Year! I hope you enjoy this year. And I hope you can do some things that the Bible teaches us to do so that you can enjoy the Word of God and the presence of the Lord Jesus and the power of His Word and the might of His Holy Spirit every moment of every day so that people may say that you and I, they are saints of Jesus. It would be nice to be called that publicly, perhaps. It would be nice to be recognized as a person that walks quietly, gently, but powerfully in the power of the Spirit and in the might of the Word, just in the presence of Jesus. Well, I have some nuggets of truth I want to share with you. I know I'm going to bleed off into some things that I have said during last year, but it's not meant to be an isolation sort of talk about the things of God. It's to bring a collage of thinking together so that you and I can be stronger thereby. For instance, what do you really think the purpose is of your life for Jesus in this world? And I was into the little letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, and in chapter 1, he says, and I'm taking it in its context, but I'm just going to use this phrase that he uses, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. It's in the first chapter, the 17th verse. One of the most outstanding things is that we are called to defend the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that may be defended in various ways. We may get into a theological discussion and defend the truth as we understand it from the Word of God. It may be that somebody is in great need. The way we defend the gospel when someone is in great need is to meet their need. So there's two ways we can function in the defense of the gospel. There are others that will say there is no such thing as a living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Then it is for us to stand in the gap, as it were, and to say most forcibly, but carefully and lovingly, oh yes, there is. Jesus died and Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus bore our sins on his body, on the tree, and rose again from the dead. 3 days after his crucifixion, he was alive again. And so the hymn says, I serve a risen Saviour. He is Jesus Christ the Lord. What a great expression. My Lord is alive. He is not the figment of somebody's imagination. He is not the figment of tradition. And I am really quite sick of listening to Christians talk about the tradition of Christianity. I don't care about the tradition of Christianity. I know it's there. Another way of saying that is the history of Christianity. But it's a broad swath that we carve with our hand or with our speech as we talk of the tradition of men and the tradition of Christianity. We have turned our Lord Jesus Christ's life. If you listen to him, he says in one place, the Word is life. Because it's life, we need to take the Word of God into our souls. This is why I recommend to everybody that all of us should attempt to read the Word of God through at least once a year. Don't make a resolution to do it. Just do it. You don't need New Year resolutions. You don't have to go into the traditions of men. But what we do have to do is gain and use as much as we can the living gospel and the living Lord Jesus and the power of his might. Well, this is what we're in defense of, and we are to defend the gospel. In verse 18 of the first chapter, the apostle says, "What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." There is a thing that goes on in us that we have to understand. In verse 20, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness," listen to those words, "as always, so now, also Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know," or "I wot not" in the original version. "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." Now, he is saying something enormous. He wants to go and visit the Philippians. He wants to show them the love he's got in his heart. He wants to appreciate them. He wants them to know that he appreciates them and loves them and is passionately fond of them, always praying for them in every way. Look at verse 4 of this same chapter. "Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So he is talking of something that is very powerful and very spiritual. And we should have such an expectation of a relationship between one another. We should not be people that separate ourselves from one another at all. We should understand that we are all one in Christ Jesus, and we are alive in him who loved us and gave himself for us, who lives forever. And when he comes again, he might find us faithful servants, constantly aware of the grace and the beauty of his holiness. It's necessary that a saint, a person that is loving the Lord Jesus, it is necessary for us to have joy. One day I was sitting down with some young fellows, and they didn't seem to be, during the meetings that we were having, they didn't seem to be meeting very much joy from their singing. They didn't have a song in their heart. And I challenged them. I said, "What's wrong with you fellows? Is there not a joy so that you can sing unto the Lord? Is there not a joy that you make a joyful noise unto the Lord?" We have to have joy unspeakable. That is, there's no adjective that can possibly explore the depth of the joy that is in us. And so there's no way of explaining the joy of the Lord Jesus, but we can show the joy with the songs that we sing, with the hearts that we bring, with the souls that are cleansed in the spring of the Lord Jesus. It's so necessary for us to bring ourselves into his presence, constantly praying for one another, constantly lifting up one another, confidently saying, "Lord Jesus, here am I. I defend your gospel. I defend your work. I defend your miracles. I defend your sayings. I defend the fact that you are alive. And I know you live. You live within my heart. That's part of the beginning of this new year. Make sure that you're part of bringing the gospel to a place where you defend it with your life. The apostle uses an expression. He says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I think the hospitals are crammed full of people who are terrified of dying. I have a very kind and dear friend, and she is now 95, and she is dying. But boy, she doesn't want to leave this world. And there is a reason. The reason is she doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Now, she doesn't quite understand that, and I'm spelling out what I'm understanding. She doesn't see yet that she needs the Lord Jesus, and yet she is so ill that every time the phone has been ringing in the last few days, I've expected it to be one of the relatives telling me that she has gone into eternity. I think it's terrible that a person enters eternity without the Lord Jesus in their heart. And here's the reason. Jesus said, "No man can come to the Father except by me or through me." When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we go into heaven knowing that we go in the power and the might and the success and the triumph and the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. We know that he was crucified and suffered terribly, and we know that he died for our sins. Having said that, isn't it wonderful that the third day he rose again from the dead? Now, he was the first to rise from the dead. He is the firstborn of the saints. He is the firstborn of those that will believe in him. If we believe in him, he gives us new life, so that he can say this, that he is the resurrection and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. It's very necessary. This is from John 11, by the way. You can read it for yourself. The Lord Jesus is saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." So don't say there are many ways to reach God. There are not. There is one way. And that one way is reduced to one person. And that one person is the Lord Jesus. But he says to us, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you." So all it takes for a person to be in Jesus Christ and to know that to die is gain is for a person to turn to Jesus and say, "Lord Jesus, my sins that have been heavy and shameful, you took to Calvary's cross, and I receive the forgiveness you're giving me. Wash me that I shall be white as snow. Create within me a clean heart, O God." And when you've prayed that prayer, say amen and believe that the Lord Jesus has given you newness of life. "You shall never die. He that liveth and believeth in me," says the Lord Jesus, "shall never die." Isn't that wonderful? Now, I can spend a lot of time, and I'm not going to, but I could spend a lot of time telling you that the streets of heaven are paved with gold, that there's a beautiful array in heaven of trees that give their fruit every month. They come to bud and they fruit out. The fruit is there to be picked and to be enjoyed. And as you walk on the streets of gold, there are beautiful fruits to eat. I could go on and say to you that all the precious stones that we have discovered in this world as the precious gems of this world, all these lovely colours, they are built into the building itself of the New Jerusalem, and it all shines in the brilliance of the Son of the Living God. And I could tell you that when you turn your eyes upon Jesus, there is no one else and no thing else, nothing else at all, that can detract you and take your eyes off him who loved you and gave himself for you. I could spend a lot of time. There are angels attending Jesus. There are angels that will attend you. There are angels that will lead you and show you the New Jerusalem. There are angels that will look after you, and though there will be a battle or two that will go on in the heavenlies, you will be safe in the arms of Jesus, and you will be cared for, and you will have a mansion in this New Jerusalem. Some people have transliterated that into apartments, and it's a shame that people want to reduce everything to something they can easily understand. I like big houses. I like big this, that, and the other. I like big cars and so on. There are things that I like. I love to think that when Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you," he did not say there are many apartments, many pigeonholes. "I have gone to prepare a place for you." He said, "I've gone to prepare a mansion for you. You will live in this glorious mansion. You will live in the glory of God. You will live in the presence of the glory of God for the rest of eternity." This is the gift. This is the gift. If you unwrap the baby in the cradle at Bethlehem, this is what you should be seeing. If you unwrap the Word of God, you should be understanding heaven is your future home. And if it's not, with the song of some years ago, "Lord, then what shall I do?" This is what you must do. Repent of sin. Believe the teachings of the Word of God and trust Jesus to carry you through. He won't let you down. He will not let you down. He will give you your heart's desire. So you should be looking forward to going to heaven. And I am fully aware that is a scary moment when death knocks on the doorstep and your name is called and the bell rings. I don't know what really happens, but it seems that way. And a trumpet is sounded, and all of a sudden in your bed or walking along or whatever the circumstance or situation is, there is a voice that calls you. "Or the tumult," says the hymn writer, "of this world's restless sea, saying, 'Christian, follow me.'" And is the Lord Jesus saying, come up to me. "For me to live," says the apostle, is gain. I'm forever trying to keep our house going. In that sense, in verse 22, it's covered by this, I think. It simply says that if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. "Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, I abide in the flesh, and my abiding in the flesh is more needful for you." The only reason I'm alive, I'm convinced of this. The only reason I'm alive today is because I have the opportunity to speak to you on the radio. I have the opportunity to speak in different churches. I have the opportunity to talk to people and counsel people. I have no greater thing to do than defend the gospel of Jesus. It is a strange thing that we have this confidence, verse 25 of chapter 1 of Philippians, having this confidence, "I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your forbearance and joy of faith." You have faith in Jesus, therefore you have joy of the Lord. You have joy and a song in your heart and a song in your mouth. A couple of my grandsons came to me and they said, "Granddad, teach us how to sing." It was a great joy to teach them some little things that I knew. They could both read music. They both could play instruments, so the music was no problem. But what the problem in their hearts, I think, was that they had never rejoiced in the faith. And here they suddenly caught on, and they were rejoicing in the faith and wanted to sing of the faith. Well, sing of the power of God, sing of the love of God, sing about Jesus and his love. You know, there's an old, old children's song, "Jesus Loves Me." This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They're weak, but he is strong. I went through the army with that song often blaring loudly in my mind, and it served me so well. I was able to rest in times when none other could rest. I was safe and secure in the arms of Jesus when others were wrestling and running and trying to bury themselves in holes in the ground and all that sort of thing. And I had perfect peace. Why? Because for me to go to be with Jesus is better than living in this world. Now, this is a smashing place to live. This world is magnificent. If you saw what I saw this morning with the sun rising up over the mountains, if you'd have seen that, you'd have said, oh, it's so beautiful. And tonight I expect to see the sun set on the opposite side of the valley on the mountains. And what can you say? It is so beautiful. God used no brush. He used no paint, but he painted it so magnificently, so beautiful. And the heavens have become his footstool. He can walk in the heavens as we walk in heaven itself when we trust him, when we love him. There's no question about his love for us. The word to abide is often used by the apostle. He says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh. The word to abide has two meanings, basically, in the original language. It means to be at home and settled. Two words, to be at home and settled. So to settle and be at home, that's to abide. It's like picking out the old chair in the room and simply sitting there and enjoying every moment that you sit there. The Lord Jesus is with you, and the Lord Jesus is keeping you, and the Lord Jesus will not leave you nor forsake you, and the Lord Jesus will teach you and love you, and you can pray while you're sitting in that chair. You can read the Word of God while sitting in that chair. You are settled and down at home. One of the difficulties that happen amongst older people today is that the children want to take over because they love us, no other reason, I would hope. They want to take over and make these last few years or months or days, whatever it is, comfortable for us. And so they say, Daddy, Mummy, listen to us. We want you to go to this place where there are lots of other old people. Is that really comforting? Why can't I use my own chair? Well, you can take your chair if there's room for it and they can put it in the room. Well, why can't I just stay where I am? Well, it's such a big house and you need so much help. Well, why can't I just enjoy the last of my time in this big old house? And younger people don't understand that. It seems more convenient. It seems easier to take the older person and put them in a place where they can be sort of warehoused for a while. But then the time comes when departure is absolutely necessary and we're going to heaven because of our old age and our dear lovely children are going to be left behind and they don't want us to leave them behind and they cry and they call out to us and they say nice things to us. Ah, but dear, dear, dear young person, you don't have enough to engulf the imagination of an old man or an old lady. So it comes to all of us. For me to die is great gain. I shall be with first Jesus. And I think amongst people I know and have gone before, And I think a lot of people that I've always wanted to ask questions, like the Apostle Paul, I've got some questions for him. I've got some questions for Moses and for Ezekiel. I've got some questions, big questions of King David. And the joy of all is that we shall be with Jesus, the Lamb that was slain and is alive again. He that went into the depth of hell and is alive again. The Lord Jesus, being with him, is far better, far better. But for your sakes, I have to hang on for a bit longer. But for your sakes, I rejoice in the faith that I have, that the word of God will not turn me down, but I shall be received up one day into the presence of Jesus. Now, this is the opening salvo, as it were, and I have abbreviated lots of what Paul is saying to the church at Philippi. And I say it to you today, saint, you who love Jesus, is it gain to go to be with him? Somber thought. Let's pray together. Most gracious and lovely Lord, we ask you to comfort us and hold us, encourage us, embolden us, make us victorious and triumphant during this coming year, that we may defend the gospel one way or another, and we may stand firm in the strength that you supply through your eternal Son, Almighty God. For we ask it in your name. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. Goodbye.